Blog Talk Radio.
Happy hump day and welcome in to today's edition of 15 Minutes of Fan. Jeff Wirtz back in the BTR studios, ready and raring to go. What a night last night at the K. If you turned the television off early, man, did you miss one hell of an ending at Kauffman Stadium last night. For a lot of people, after the fourth inning, you thought, okay, 7-2, this thing is over. Don't count this Royals team out. Even though the Astros were on a gigantic winning streak, the Royals come back, and we saw some of the Royal magic that we did in 2014, 2015. We saw some great action. Joining me today, joining me today, WIBW's Jonathan Deutsch joining me for our new weekly segment. Every Wednesday, Jonathan will be joining me. We'll talk a little bit of Royals, a little bit of Chiefs, some baseball, all things going on in the sports world. Jonathan, thanks for joining me. Welcome in to BTR. Welcome into 15 Minutes of Fan.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm still trying to recover from last night's Royals game and figure out what happened. And I watched it.
just crazy. I mean, I like a lot of people, I think I kind of nodded off in the sixth and seventh inning. But got up just in time to see that great comeback. And if you missed it last night, man, did you miss a great finish to that game. Four runs in the eighth, two in the ninth, including a Mike Moustakas dong, a big-time hit for Mike. And, you know, all around last night, we saw kind of the breakout of this Royals team. We saw an Alex Gordon home run, which, wow, that was incredible in and of itself. Just the monkey off the back of Alex Gordon. First one since last year and first one since who knows when. Alex Gordon going yard in the third inning and then, of course, capped with that Mike Moustakas two-run home run. Just an incredible game last night, Jonathan.
And a lot of FaceTime for Alex Gordon last night. If I don't know if you saw, but we kind of noticed after he hit that home run, he's running back in, and he looks at someone in the dugout. I want to say maybe Ned, and you can kind of read his lips, and he's laughing, and he said, "I did it." So, like, finally, I hit this home run. And then in the eighth inning on that the game-tying double, as he's coming around third, the two guys standing behind the plate are saying, "Hey, you're in easy, but he was, like, half sprinting, half easing up, maybe sliding, maybe not, and he stumbles and trips over home plate, and it was just good to see Alex, like, laughing and smiling, and you know, because it's been a frustrating first couple months of the season for him. So, yeah, good for him to hopefully maybe this busts him out of whatever weird slump he's been in for a year and a half and gets it back to normal Alex Gordon mode.
And I think you or I could probably be as athletic in our role going into home plate as Alex was. Man, he had to have been dogged a lot in the clubhouse and in the dugout after that. Man, just incredible. I'm going to post that video on the Facebook page in a little bit because, man, I honestly think you or I could be that athletic. It makes me feel good to see I could be a Major League Baseball player after seeing that.
It makes me wonder if there's going to be like a kangaroo court fine for doing something that quote unquote embarrassing, you know, just like,
oh,
hey, pay him $50.
Without a doubt. That is definitely going to be in his highlight reel, low light reel, the rest of the season. But again, the Royals do get the 9-7 victory. They're 25th of the year. This Royals team only 7 games under 500, and you know, we say, oh, this has just been a terrible year. This has just been, you know, and is it one of those things, 5.5 back right now, is it one of those things that we got spoiled? I almost think we were spoiled for so long. And now when we're seeing old Royals baseball, and you were a Texas boy. Growing up, as I did, as a Royals fan, you weren't around for the years where we were excited that they won 63 games because that meant they wouldn't lose 100. There were years that we would celebrate the 63rd win, Jonathan. That's where it goes for this franchise until the last couple of years. It just feels like we've been spoiled. And now with a team that's only 7 games under 500, we're hanging our heads. This team could still make a legit run at the, you know, at the top of the division. Maybe not at the top of the division, because you look and the Twins and the Indians both are playing very good right now. But 4 games over 500 are the Twins, and only 2 games are the Tribe right now. The Royals still have a legitimate shot at this AL Central.
Oh, for sure. And it's easily the weakest division in Major League Baseball, which is the blessing here that, yeah, you look and they're in last place in the Central, fine. But it's only 5.5. Would you rather be last place in the Central, 5.5 back, or look at the Angels in the AL West, who are second in the division, and they're 13 back? So the fact that it's a weaker division and that all the teams are on pretty much equal ground right now, you've got to feel confident. And a win like last night could push the Royals on a little run. All they need, if they go, you know, 7 of their next 10, they could make up 2, 3, 4 games and be, you know, and feel a lot better about being 1 game back. But 5.5 at this point in the year is not, that's not that bad. That's very doable. And, you know, maybe you're right that people have been spoiled a little bit and they just expect wins the whole time ever since, you know, 2014. But sometimes you fall a little behind. You got to make a run after the All-Star break, even, you know, make a deadline deal and turn something around. Like, it's hard to lead the division coast to coast. And there's so many games and so much time that I think you're right. There's a legitimate shot for this team to still, you know, make a playoff run, or a run to the playoffs rather, whether it's the wild card or the division. And in my opinion, I think the division might be easier because it's just a little bit weaker.
Definitely. And one other story last night in Major League Baseball, probably the biggest story in Major League Baseball last night, and I am more excited by this because it came against the Cardinals, but Scooter Gennett last night. 5 hits, 4 of those, he goes long ball. 10 RBI in the game. And the Cincinnati Reds blow out the Cardinals last night, 13-1. What a night for this guy. Kind of a little-known player, but, man, did he make a name for himself last night.
It was shocking. And, like, when they cut in live to see, oh, here's his 4th at bat, it was like, no way. Who is this guy? No way. And then he blasts that 4th home run, and it blows your mind. And I think I saw a number last night that, you know, the 4 home runs in one game, he hit 9.5% of his career homers in last night's game. Because I think he has 42 career homers or something like that. And the fact that coming into last night's game, he was 0 for his last 19. So you think guys are stuck in a slump forever? That'll show you how quickly you can snap out of it. Because with one game, he may have just earned National League Player of the Week.
And these weren't just wall-scraping home runs. The third inning, he hit 424, fourth inning, 424, sixth inning, 375, and finished it off in the eighth inning, 378. So these weren't just wall scrapers. He was hitting bombs last night. And I couldn't believe it.
Great.
As you said, the cut-ins last night were just tremendous. And as invested as I was in that Royals game, and just seeing that was so, so cool.
Baseball is just it's a funky game, man. It's great, though. It's great. A guy you've never heard of hits 4 homers, and then the Royals come back from down 7-1 against the best team in baseball. It's a weird game, and every night you're almost guaranteed to see something you've never seen before.
about it. And, you know, watching it at home, it is incredible. Nights like that are incredible. Watching it at the stadium, I was there. This was a couple of years ago. I believe it was the 2013 season. Final game at Kauffman. This is my claim to fame. This is one of the best games, the best game I've seen live. I believe it was the 12th inning in a scoreless game. It was 0-0 in the 12th inning, one of the most boring games that I've ever been to. And with one out in the bottom of the 12th, the Royals come up and knock out a grand slam, a walk-off grand slam. Justin Maxwell with a walk-off grand slam. And I'm sitting there, and
awesome.
I'm telling everybody around me, this game sucks. I am never coming back to a Royals game again. And this ball just carries, and I'm that guy in Major League. Oh, it's too high. It's too high. He didn't get it.
It's that my
ball
favorite
just
guy.
Hit the Hall of Fame. He blasted that thing. But absolutely blasted. And as you said, makes Major League Baseball just one of the – I think Major League Baseball stands out as maybe not the most – you know, the best game, but it's the most exciting because things like that happen on a considerable basis. Seems like they happen, if not once a night, at least once a week. Things like that, crazy things like that will happen on a Major League Baseball diamond. All right, let's
and
see.
one other thing that happened this week, real quick, the Edinson Volquez no hitter. Just another thing that you'd never expect from a guy who only had like three complete games in his career, and then he goes out and does that. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. Baseball is amazing.
And the circumstance with that being right around
right.
Ace's birthday, it was just really cool. Really cool what he did, and exactly another case of. Baseball is just really, really cool. Let's just put it at that. All right, let's switch
right.
across the parking lot a little bit to the Kansas City Chiefs. The news this week, and this really was met with strong opinion, was the release of Jeremy Maclin. Now, it's been floated around in the last couple of days that the reasoning for it – and we didn't really get verification of what exactly the thought process was until yesterday with Andy Reid. He had a quick press conference and pretty much just stated it wasn't a personal thing. It's just business. And that's how you have to treat a release like this. We've seen that already twice this year. We've seen that with 25. Now, it hurts a little bit. I think he made it a little bit more personal heading over to Mile High. I think 25, maybe that hurts a little bit. But this is the second time we've seen it with Jeremy Maclin. Still links now. It sounds like Buffalo might be a good landing spot for J-Mac. It sounds like he is going to be a Buffalo Bill, maybe even by the end of the week.
Yeah, I would think that's pretty interesting. I've seen Bills, I've seen Ravens, I've seen Eagles, although I don't know for sure. I mean, like the Eagles one was more like, do they have room? You know, the Chiefs making this move, the Chiefs, the expert at the Friday late afternoon evening, you know, news drop, news bomb there. But, yeah, Jeremy Maclin, I think, what were they saying? The Chiefs will save $10 million by just letting them go here because of that huge deal he signed. And I get that last year was a little bit of a down year for him, but I feel like the connection that he and Alex Smith had, you know, I think Smith really liked having him on the outside. And I know Travis Kelce is the big weapon and Tyreek Hill and all that, but I think he felt like Maclin was kind of that consistent security blanket, maybe? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's going to hurt not having them. But as you said, Travis Kelce is the big target. And we've seen Tyreek Hill make advances and still a lot of time to be before the first week of the season. He'll go through training camp. We'll see him in St. Joe and, you know, figure out exactly what his spot is. But as you said, yeah, the rapport with Alex Smith and Jeremy Maclin was huge. But it's a business, and that's basically what it comes down to. As much as fans absolutely hate this, you have to recognize it. It is a business, and that is ultimately the reason that Jeremy Maclin was let go. All right, Jonathan, we are reaching the end of the show. And by the way, thank you so much. If you weren't here at the beginning of the show, Jonathan Deutsch, our new weekly guest, going to have Jonathan on every Wednesday, and I graciously appreciate that. He will come on with us as often as possible on Wednesdays. I know you have quite a bit busy schedule midweek, especially once the high school season comes around. So, again, Jonathan, I appreciate this. This has been a topic on this show for quite some time. This was actually raised to me via Twitter, and I want to get your opinion on it. It's a very important topic and something we have to discuss. PB&J, do you use creamy or crunchy peanut butter?
Oh, this is without a doubt. This is so easy. I don't know why there's a debate on this. You go creamy. You go creamy. It's plain and simple. You go creamy on both sides of the bread. You throw your jelly on one side, and there you go. Chunky? No, you don't do chunky. Just creamy peanut butter.
Oh, Jonathan.
You blew it!
Jonathan. Oh, man.
No debate. There is no debate on this.
Oh, I'm hurt.
Right,
next week we'll be looking for a new Wednesday. No, I kid. But that hurts, man. I thought you were on my side with this one.
What results? Where does the poll stand right now?
The poll right now on our Facebook page is about 60-40 creamy. I don't know the exact number right now. I don't have it in front of me. But I don't get it. Unless you have a tall glass of milk, and you have to go glass of milk, right?
Oh, preferably, yes.
You have to. I mean, that's just a – oh, man. I really thought you were on my side with this one. I'm a little hurt right now. I'm a little frustrated.
No. You got to – the creamy just – it just works better. I don't know.
Okay.
If I wanted chunky, I would just eat a handful of peanuts.
That's okay. That's a fair assessment. That is a fair assessment. So, again, Jonathan Deutsch joining me today, creamy peanut butter enthusiast and just all around great guy. Thank you so much, Jonathan. Enthusiast. Yes, you are now the creamy peanut butter enthusiast. That needs to be on your Twitter info. Creamy peanut butter enthusiast, Jonathan Deutsch.
I have Dr. Pepper addict in there. It's hard to get that out of there because that's even more important.
Can't lack the hustle on the Dr. Pepper, man. Can't do that. Not a problem. All right, Jonathan, I will let you go. Thank you so much for joining me here today, and I look forward to the new weekly segment, and I look forward to talking to you again next week here on 15 Minutes of Fan. Thank you so much for joining me here today.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
All right. That was WIBW's Jonathan Deutsch joining me on today's show. That is all the time I have for today. I will be back tomorrow morning. We will talk more Royals baseball. Hopefully they get on a roll today. They continue with the winning streak that they're on, winning streak, quote unquote. They send Jason Vargas to the mound tonight for the Boys in Blue. He matches up against Dallas Keuchel. It is going to be one hell of a pitching matchup tonight. You are going to see some very, very good throwers tonight. Again, Dallas Keuchel and Jason Vargas coming up tonight at the K. That is a 7 o'clock start for the Royals and Astros from Kauffman Stadium tonight. Tomorrow, NBA, NHL, a whole lot going on as we get ready. Finals are alive and kicking. We get a little bit of break in the last couple of days, but they are back at it starting tomorrow. So we will talk NBA and NHL along with a little bit of Royals as they hope to get a W tonight at the K. That's all I've got for you today. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow for a brand new edition of 15 Minutes of Fan.